of Wildea Tausch. Looks like Jesse's alone in the control room, which I must say is good news.
How do you think that went?
How do you think it went?
I thought it went good. That was fun.
And I agree.
Okay.
I would agree it was fun. I wouldn't agree that it went well, but I would agree that it was
man,
fun.
It sucked for Mike. He went 0-3.
No, and he got the third one
right.
He
got the last one right.
Oh, yeah, he did get the last one right.
He crushed it.
Despite some significant distractions being created.
I think maybe before the season and maybe before this new partner is announced, maybe we tinker with the rules a little bit.
What does that mean?
I think if you get the first question right, you get 1 point. You get one entry. You get the second question right, you get two entries for that. So that'd be three. And then if you get the third, you can get up to 7 entries that week. What do you guys think? Because the third question, then we can really ramp up the difficulty of it.
We're going to need a bigger cheese fry helmet.
What do you guys think?
It's
again, more work for Jesse, which I think we can all agree.
Which I think
fun.
We all love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the fact that you are perpetually committed to improving things, even things that don't necessarily need improvement. I mean, we can agree.
It's been the same. Like, listen, you can't just sit on your hands for years and expect things to get better. Sometimes you got to tinker. Mm. This is a tinkering.
Tinkers to Evers to Chance. Jesse, speaking of tinkering, the Milwaukee Bucks have done more than tinkering. But your guy, Shams Charania, appeared yesterday on KBN. And I don't know, Jim, as much as people want to continue to say that this is just national media pushing a narrative, I'm starting to get worried again. Am I wrong to be worried?
I don't think you're wrong to be worried, but there definitely do appear to be a couple of factions now among the Milwaukee Bucks fans.
So do you think there's an agenda? There's Shams.
There is one faction that believes it is the NBA's slow time of the offseason. Giannis is in Milwaukee. The team is not as good as they were a few years ago. And now there's a national agenda being pushed by Shams as the beacon of it to try and get Giannis out of Milwaukee. Whether he's on the fence or not, there seems to be some push, perhaps from the league or whomever, that they want him out of Milwaukee, get him to New York, get him to Golden State, wherever else teams are interested in him, to try and get him to a larger, more compelling market. As we know, player movement is what makes the NBA go, especially this time of year. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other faction that says this isn't even topical and worthy of our discussion. Giannis is staying. What the heck are we doing? He hasn't said anything to indicate that he wants out of Milwaukee.
He also has not unequivocally said, I don't want to leave, which would put an end to all of this.
That's a dangerous game you get into, though, isn't it?
I'm just saying that we can't sit here and say Giannis is staying, because he has not unequivocally said that.
Well,
that's all.
LeBron James.
I'm not telling him
guys
he should.
Okay.
But no one's conjecturing about, well, I don't know, Jokic. Right? No one's talking about, you've pointed this out before, no one is saying, oh, I don't know, is the Joker going to stay in Denver? He doesn't have to come out and say, look, this is stupid, I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying in Denver. Because no one is pushing that narrative. But if Giannis has already made up his mind that he's not going anywhere, then yeah, it'd be great to hear him say, look, tell Shams to go take a hike. I'm not leaving. Enough. Done. Now I'm going to go on vacation a little while longer.
I mean, he did.
Is that wrong?
He did tweet earlier this offseason, anyone miss Woj, quote tweeting Shams.
That's true.
Subtweeting Shams with a little laughing emoji, which seemed to be a shot at him.
It did seem to be a shot at him. I would agree with that.
So while not saying, like, you know, take a hike, that's about as close as you can say to
saying.
That's about as close as you can get to saying take a hike politely, as Giannis could say, take a hike.
It's fair. Again, Jesse, I just feel like, And I can't remember who I was talking to, but somebody made a comment that they had been hearing rumblings as well. Until he comes out and says, look, this is dumb, I'm not going anywhere, I just would feel better if he did that. Is that unreasonable for me?
I don't think it's unreasonable.
Does that make you think that there's more to this story? Because I think
it does.
Okay.
What about it? Doesn't make you feel that way?
I thought whenever the last time we discussed Giannis, I don't remember who brought audio or there was something that was said. I think it was maybe when he was over in Greece and there was some stuff. And he sat down with some.
He was on a podcast.
Yeah, it's one of the podcasters. And I did think, wonder where. It didn't make me feel great.
Yeah, right. It was not full-throated, I'm not going anywhere.
So at this point in time, I think there's probably two or three teams that I think, Giannis wants to win. And I think he'd love to do it in Milwaukee. Is what Milwaukee has done enough for him? I don't think anyone knows that answer yet. I don't even know if he knows that answer. I think in his heart of hearts, he doesn't want to go anywhere. But I think he also realizes, I don't know how many years of prime Giannis does he have left? I'm sure he hopes for a long time, but understanding there's injuries, I am not one that is just going to, and I know there's people that just don't like Shams, and they don't like that this narrative, and it seems like it gets pushed out there at times that ESPN is pushing certain things. And that's, I get it. I understand it. But there's also, these guys are connected, and they have idea. They hear things. There's been a lot of just whispers that there could be something there. I hope that it's not. I think that more than likely it won't be. But to just completely dismiss it as saying it's just, an agenda or anything else, I don't think is also super wise. I think this is going to be something that, unfortunately, for whatever reason, because you brought up Jokic, I don't know if it is the same in Denver. I don't think it is, but I don't know. I didn't spend a ton of time listening to Denver sports talk, even though we were in the car for an inordinate amount of hours. This does feel like there's something there. Whether it's enough to have him invoke that I want to be moved, I don't think we're there. But could we get there? I think we should all be on high alert for that. And I think the Milwaukee Bucks are on high alert for that.
Jesse, where are you at on this?
So I don't think that Shams is pushing a narrative because he's a mouthpiece for the NBA that's trying to convince him to push it out there so that Giannis hears it, so that he wants to go play in a big market. I don't believe that conspiracy. I don't believe that there's nothing to this, and the fact that we haven't heard Giannis straight up say there's nothing to this, I think he wouldn't be shy about doing so. He has plenty of platforms and opportunities to do so if he wanted to shut it down. So Sham said yesterday with Kyle Bruston-Norman, we'll hear a little bit of what he said here in a second, but this might go until training camp. With Giannis deciding, if he wants to stay in Milwaukee, does he believe they can win a championship, all that stuff. And if this is going to continue right up until they are reporting and practicing and getting going with the season, that's still going to continue to make for a long offseason. But I am operating as a Bucks fan under the belief that Giannis is coming back, and at this point I would be surprised if he is not on the Bucks for the 25-26 season. Beyond that, I don't know. But I would be surprised after the player movement that happened over the last 4 to 6 weeks, whatever that free agency window was, I would be surprised if Giannis was not playing for the Bucks this year.
Yeah. But not stunned.
Yeah, it'd be like a 8.5, 9 out of 10, not a full 10 out of 10. Whoa. Like when they acquired Damian Lillard, that was a 10 out of 10. I was shocked. I would not be that if Giannis were to be traded before the start of the season. But it'd be close, but not all the way.
We will continue to monitor this. I'm sorry that I am mildly annoyed by this. I don't want to tell Giannis what to do, nor should he listen to me. It's not like listening to your doctor when he gives you very clear advice on what to do. But it would be great if he just he could put an end to all the conjecture if he wanted to. You would agree with that? Is that fair to say?
I mean, do you really think even if he came out and said that, that people would still not behind the scenes say, yeah, he's saying that now, but that doesn't mean things can't change?
I think people that have an agenda might, but if he came out and unequivocally said, look, I'm tired of my future being debated in the public square. I'm not going to be asking the Bucks for a trade this year. I believe in the people that are...
Then you'd say, well, he said this year. You didn't say...
Right. Right, but it would put a stop to this year's conjecture, at least.
Probably.
And without painting him into a corner.
Probably.
Yeah.
Here, you want to hear some of what Shams said yesterday? I think that's good for context for the discussion here.
Not really, but go ahead and play it anyway.
Great.
I think he's still in his process of evaluating, asking himself some hard questions. And the questions I've heard since the day of the Miles Turner trade and the Damian Lillard stretch and wave is, can I win another championship in Milwaukee? Can I win with this roster, not only next season, but in 2026, 2027? Because in all likelihood, this roster is pretty much going to be the roster both this upcoming year, the year after that, after the Damian Lillard stretch and wave. And so they're going to have a little bit more assets next summer than this summer. But, he has to ultimately make that decision. And when he comes around to it, whether it's the first day of training camp, when he shows up big camp or otherwise, we'll know.
That's one portion of Shams Charania on Kyle Bruston-Nortman yesterday. You can find the full podcast on the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Jesse wants to play a little Take It to the Bank coming up. We can't play that until Tausch has told us about his love of Coors Light.
Oh, I love Coors Light. And whether you're tailgating pregame, if you're out at Red Rocks, out in Colorado, or you're just celebrating a big win after a game, you need a moment to chill, just crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and cold package, so it is made to chill. And boy, saw it everywhere out at TPC yesterday at the ESPN Madison Open. Great partner. We love Coors Light. That's what I always have when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
I do have a question for Tausch as it relates to Corey Ballantyne. I will ask him that next. It's Will Dean Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. Candy, she's sweet like candy in my veins.
Baby, I'm dying for another taste. Never in my mind.
Before we get to Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank, a question for Old T, and that is this. So Corey Ballantyne spent the 22, 23, and 24 seasons with the Packers. But I think he joined them off the practice squad about midway through 22. Had a good 23. Started like six games that year. That was the first year of the 2 years of Jair Alexander frequently not being available. And then he was with them last year. Started one game, but played almost exclusively on special teams. Now we know why they brought him back earlier yesterday, and that is the news of Nate Hobbs' surgery on his knee. Tausch, my question is, when you play for the team and then you leave, whether it's through free agency or them not re-signing you or you're dealing with a ACL comeback, and then you come back, he was with the Colts. Colts signed him in free agency. They cut him last week, and now he's back with the Packers. What's that like? Is it weird? Is it, hey, great to see all my guys. I can reunite with my lawyer partner, Valentine, and renew the Ballantyne and Valentine law firm together. What's it? Is it? Is there anything awkward, or is it just, hey, it's great to be back? No, I wish I would have never left.
It's great to be back, and I think for most guys that I've seen that have left, went somewhere else, and come back, it's always been the same. You don't know how good you have it here. That's, I mean, you could go through, and there's a list of guys that I played with that left and came back, and almost every one of them, and now maybe that is because this is their opportunity and potentially the last opportunity in their career, but from a player standpoint, you're always excited when that player comes back because, hey, that's my old buddy. That's a guy I know. And you know who that player is. That player understands the expectations and what is demanded of you at that organization. So in a perfect world, yeah, you never get cut. You never leave. You're always, and you just grow, blah, blah, blah. But the NFL is not that. So when you're a journeyman type guy and you get an opportunity to go back to someplace you had some good experiences at, you know the players, you know the people, it makes that transition a heck of a lot easier, and that typically allows you to play a lot freer and better. So all things considered, these are the cases where I think everybody, especially for that first day, are excited that, hey, my guy is back. Mm-hmm. He knows what is expected. Let's get to work. It's not that waiting out period, seeing if, you know, especially in August when there's a lot of bodies floating through the building. It's nice when you see a familiar face.
Time now for a little Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank.
Take It to the Bank is presented by Associated Bank. And while we're talking about Nate Hobbs, we'll start with Nate Hobbs. Tausch, you ready to take it to the bank? Nate Hobbs will start week one for the Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions, even dealing with this injury.
Well, unfortunately, I was not at Ashwaubenon High School today, and I didn't get to read the scans off the back of Doc McKenzie's beautiful Chevy Tahoe that I hope he got from Zimbrick Chevrolet here in Sun Prairie. I would argue if it's just a small meniscus and it's, you know, something you can clean up, that's usually a two-week deal. Or 33 days out. That's 4 weeks and some change. If he has no setbacks, you can take it to the bank. He'll be back.
I am not taking it to the bank. I'm going to very carefully keep my pennies in my jar. And then if by the time the Black Crows take the stage, Nate Hobbs has gotten ample work and shown that he's fine, then I'll reconsider my position. But I'm sorry. 33 days. I don't know what the minimum Tausch is of days you can have between a surgery and playing, you know, 75 snaps in an NFL football game.
Same guys do it in a week. Seeing guys have surgery on a Monday and play on the following Sunday.
At corner.
No. It's different.
Okay. Offensive linemen play through a hell of a lot.
It's a month. You get 33 days. Mm-hmm. Surgery happened. Clean it up. There's always risks of setbacks, no question. But as we sit here today, I feel pretty good that he'll be available.
Okay. I am not taking that to the bank. What's next, Jesse?
ESPN Chicago's David Kaplan appearing on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio this morning with Evan Canty and Michelle. He also appeared on Jim, Matt, and Molly last week on ESPN Madison. He has really been parading this take that the Green Bay Packers will finish last in the NFC North. Take it to the bank, and this is by request of a texter. Are we going to talk about the silly radio host from Chicago saying the Packers will finish last? Take it to the bank. The Packers will finish in any position but last in the NFC North this year.
Yes, take it to the bank. And now, again, stuff can happen. But as we sit here today on the 5th of August, I just look at everything else. Where is there the most stability in head coach, quarterback, coordinator than anywhere else? And to me, Detroit's the favorite in the division. They've won it. They deserve that right. Mm-hmm. But that can be snatched from them on opening night. Could be sitting here, you know, Sunday night, the whatever day after the Counting Crows and the Black Crows and the Sabbath and everybody else plays. If Green Bay beats Detroit handily at Lambeau, there are going to be conversations in Detroit saying, oh, boy, we miss Ben. Oh, we miss Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
We miss Jen. We miss Len. They miss them all. Anybody in. And maybe it is the end to the reign of supremacy that the Detroit Lions have had the last couple years in the North. It ain't going to be about Green Bay finishing fourth. Green Bay would have to fill their britches to finish fourth. I said it with Evan. I'll say it again. I think they are the least likely team to finish fourth of these three other teams.
Yeah, unless they are just snowed under by injuries.
I think even if you factor that in, like Malik Willis is going to win. Malik Willis is 3-0 last year.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's going to win a championship. But you ain't gonna fall on your face like you will if Jared Goff gets hurt. Detroit's deuces be.
I don't want to belittle what Malik Willis did because I like him a lot.
Seems like you're going to though.
No, I'm not. The wins are wins, but what do the Indianapolis Colts, the Tennessee Titans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars all have in common? They're all bad teams from the AFC South.
They stink.
So if he has to beat the Steelers, the Ravens, and let's give him the Browns, does he go 3-0 with two of those games on the road? I don't know. Maybe he does still. But I wasn't even thinking about Love. I'm talking about, you know, if they have to play without Josh Jacobs. Or, like, we saw... Look, you were right about the San Francisco 49ers last year. You were right. But part of the reason you were as right as you were is because they were decimated by injury, too. The Detroit Lions still managed to go 15-2. But, like, most of their defense was in the hospital. Right? If we're being fair. If they have Aiden Hutchinson, are they playing in a Super Bowl? I don't know, maybe. Right? Like, I'm just saying, there is a world where the Packers have the wrong injuries and they end up 6-11 and they are in last place in the NFC North. I don't think that's going to be the outcome. And I think, as much as I love the Catman, I think he knows that this is red meat for his fan base. And it incurs the ire of Packers fans, which is why he's appearing on our programs. And he's doing great. He's so good at what he does. But I don't believe the Green Bay Packers are finishing in last place. And I agree with what you said, Evan, which is if I were to pick any team out of this group of four that is least likely to end up in last place, they're the ones I'm picking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
It would go Chicago, Minnesota would be heavy favorites to finish fourth. Then I would put Detroit.
Yep.
And then I'd put Green Bay.
I agree, 100%. If J.J. McCarthy stinks, I don't care how much other good stuff they got going on up there.
And that deflates a football team.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's Take It to the Bank presented by Associated Bank.
Don't be shocked when Kirk Cousins ends up playing against the G&G up here in November. As a Minnesota Vikings QB. Mm. Don't be shocked.
That would be interesting. He does have a history of winning at Lambeau Field as well, and tying once. Associated Bank, there are no ties with them. They are the best when it comes to customer service. They didn't have to share any of those awards. They won them outright, and it's because early pay, they've got credit monitoring, they've got fraud protection. They're all top of the line. And on top of that, Badgers checking, Brewers checking, Packers checking, and they're the official bank of the Packers. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Woe Nelly is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I may have left a little too much time for Woe Nelly. Usually we keep it short for you, Jesse. You have enough material, or does Tausch have to distract us?
Oh, no, we're good today. I got to get after somebody today.
Well, now I'm interested. Time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
So we had a lot of fun yesterday at the ESPN Madison Open at TPC Wisconsin, presented by Coors Light. As our day was wrapping up, Jim, Matt, and Molly were on the air out at TPC Wisconsin. And I caught the very end of their show where a certain Jim Rutledge, noted Cubs fan, by the way, Jim Rutledge, who I thought at one point claimed he was becoming a Brewers fan now and then suddenly ended up being a Cubs fan again this year. That's interesting how that played out. He was getting after me. And somehow Alex Strofe, I don't know what Strofe did to be in on this, but...
I don't know, but I kind of like this.
I did start it, so I guess, yeah. So last week, Jim, Matt, and Molly crew was talking about the trade deadline. Like, they were on the air as the Brewers trade deadline came and went, and they made a couple of moves for some pitchers. Didn't get the bat that Jeff Passan said. They were one bat away from being serious World Series contenders when he joined us July 7th. Well, since then, they've been obviously the best team in baseball. They still are the best team in baseball, and they're now 3 games up on the Cubs. But yesterday, they were getting after me, specifically Jim, for celebrating a Brewers sweep over the Washington Nationals where they set a franchise record for hits in a 3-game series. One of the ways that I celebrated that was by quote tweeting a Jim, Matt, and Molly post from last week saying that the Brewers... failed by not getting a bat before the trade deadline. I said, the Brewers don't have enough offense. And I did that thing where you do like some uppercase, some lowercase letters, so it makes it look like it's crazy. So I did that, and I quote tweeted their post from last week, say, the Brewers don't have enough offense. Best team in baseball, franchise record for hits in a 3-game series. Last night they beat the Braves 3-1. My old question here is, am I a loser for celebrating when the Brewers sweep a bad team? Because that was their whole thing. Oh, it's pathetic to celebrate when you sweep the 3rd worst team in baseball. They did it in historic fashion. Of course, what am I going to do? They win games and just sit here with my hands under my butt saying, okay, whatever. That's what they're supposed to do.
My hands under my butt?
Yeah, you sit on your hands like... Is that what you're supposed to do when your team is good and winning games against bad teams? I don't think that's what you're supposed to do, but it seems like it's pretty, loserville to be saying, oh, we're good at celebrating winning against the National. That's fun. Seems ridiculous.
Why did this hit such a nerve for you?
I don't know, but it did, clearly.
You're a Brewers fan. Nobody's arguing that. Packer fan, I think we can argue because you gave up on them and went to the.
It's true.
The yeah. Brewers you've stuck with you through your dad's ushering and everything else, the tough times. You should celebrate. This is a season to celebrate what Milwaukee is doing. It's a another fantastic regular season. Enjoy it. And why does it bother you that Jim, who their team has fallen apart? Their pitcher that they brought in, didn't he, like, hurt himself, and he's not even available? I saw old boy jumping on a swing. He usually does it just for the Bears. He's swinging for the Cubs now.
Sylvie.
The Brewers are in their head. I don't understand why this struck a nerve with you. Like, celebrate victories in life. You know, why does this bother you?
That's what I'm saying.
No, but why is it bothering you?
Because why would you not celebrate victory?
Why does it bother you?
Sports is about winning games.
Okay, but why does it bother you that Jim is getting after you about it?
He's in your head.
He's in my head, I guess.
Why, though?
Because it's aggravating. Because it's the last thing you hear going into a Brewers broadcast on ESPN Madison, the new home of the Brewers. Maybe we're the good luck charm here in 2025.
Certainly weren't for volleyball.
Being the home of the... Well, that's true. But we put it all on the Brewers. The last thing you hear going into a game in Atlanta after coming off a sweep and having a Rookie of the Month crown, and then he hits a 3-run home run last night to propel the team to victory, the last thing you hear is, you shouldn't be celebrating winning a game. They should beat the Nationals. They should beat the Braves. Okay, but, like, the Packers play the Colts, and they beat them. We still sell. Hey, it's still a win. You took care of business.
I will say, hey, they stink. You don't get too excited. But, yeah, always celebrate for 24 hours. In the NFL, you can't compare to Major League Baseball. The flip
too many
scripts.
Games.
Flip scripts. Script flips. However you want to put it. Baseball, 3 games a lot. Celebrate and move on. Yeah, I have no problem with you celebrating a big, fat, you know, series sweep against a god-awful team. That's what you're supposed to do.
Jesse, it pains me to do this because the setup was really long there, by the way.
I know.
I felt like it for a second he actually forgot what he was talking about, and then he had to come back.
Whoa, Nelly!
Took a circuitous route.
Yes.
Had the Brewers not won that series or swept that series in historic offensive production fashion, would you have celebrated in the same way?
Probably not.
I would predict no.
No.
Right.
But when you do it that way.
I think it was the
way
they did it that caused you to take that approach. And in that way, I believe you are justified.
Score 16 runs with some of your best players out of the lineup on Friday night. Pocket pancake.
Whoa, Nelly!
Okay. There's a real reason why I'm irritated by what Jim, Matt, and Molly are getting
Why
at.
Is it taking you 10 minutes to get to it?
Sometimes you need to talk to someone for a little while to uncover some things.
Okay.
Tier 1 Tyler texts me every time Jim, Matt, and Molly are getting after the Brewers from 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison. He says, oh my God, they're talking about the Brewers again. They don't know anything about the Brewers. That's what this is really all about.
So
Tier 1 Tyler texts me every time Jim, Matt, and Molly are being critical of the Brewers for being the best team in baseball. And I think they need to check themselves from 4 to 6 on ESPN
Before
Madison.
They wreck themselves.
I think what you need to do is go on their show.
I agree.
And just have a conversation with them.
Vehement conversation.
Yes. Just go on their show and have at it.
Whoa, Nelly!
Let loose.
I'll have to be invited. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Invite yourself. You do that for other stuff.
J.J. McCarthy is going to start for the Minnesota Vikings in their preseason opener Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. on NFL Network. My question for you, fellas, how much preseason football, besides a Green Bay Packers game, will you watch? None or a itty little bit?
I watch some if it's like, maybe, is there a Sunday night game? Saturday I can't. I won't be available. the Packers game we'll have to figure out, tape, and go about it doing that way. Yeah, outside of that, preseason football has lost its luster. Like, I don't know how much luster there was, but there's just not a ton that you glean when it becomes your starters and everything else. There's some bottom end stuff that I think gets worked out, and guys can emerge and give themselves chances to have a chance to, you know, make teams. But I'll be curious what Matt LaFleur ends up doing with Jordan Love and his guys, but J.J. McCarthy needs to play. So I think if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm a heck of a lot more intrigued with the preseason than I am as a Packer fan. This preseason.
To answer your question, there's no Sunday night game this week, but next week, Bills-Bears, 7 o'clock.
Bills-Bears.
On a Sunday night. That one, that's Bears are playing. You could turn into that one for a minute or two.
Yep.
I would say this. I will watch more than either of you will watch.
Is it because you're laid up?
No, I like to have the games on when I'm writing. With my foot elevated, yes. It's interesting. The Packers play 7 p.m. this Saturday, noon the following Saturday in Indy, and then 3 p.m. the Saturday after that at home against the Seahawks. So three different times all on Saturday.
The guys want Thursday games. They want to have that Thursday at the end and then have the long weekend with cuts and everything and then get back to it.
That's not what they have.
No, I know.
I believe they changed that, though. I think they basically finish a week earlier now.
They get an extra week, yeah.
Yeah, so. But I'll watch more. And I really want to watch however many snaps Caleb Williams plays. I want to watch those.
Why? You think that's going to tell you everything you need to know?
Nate Hobbs is very physical. I like to watch people that impact the Packers.
You see that video of him throwing so badly?
Yeah. And then throwing a tantrum. He threw the tantrum better than he threw those three balls that missed the net. Am I right?
Good hotkey. Pretty good hotkey drop, Jesse.
Thanks, Tal.
Being an expert on hotkeys, that was pretty good.
Expert seems strong. All right, is that all you got?
You want to talk about the Cleveland Browns having 5 quarterbacks on their roster now?
Well, they've got some guys with some sore shoulders.
They do. Tyler Huntley, the latest to join
Snoop!
The collection of Browns quarterbacks.
How many? If you know, how, you know the old saying: if you say you've got two quarterbacks, you've got none.
Mm-hmm.
How many quarterbacks do you have when you have five?
That'd be 10, right? Double.
No, that's not how that works.
Fuzzy math. I don't know what they're doing there. I think they're tanking for
another quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing.
The rumor has it, and this would be juicy.
Oh,
Arch and Saban to Cleveland next year. Saban was the D coordinator for Belichick. Saban's won big in college, never won big in the pros. Belichick is doing the oppo. He's doing the Saban. Saban's going to do the belly. That'd be juicy. Be real juicy.
That is juicy. I don't have a segue for that. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Something yesterday. I can't remember if it was in the YouTube comments or a tweet to the show account. I think it was in the YouTube comments. We're talking about Romeo Doubs again. And someone accused us of being insensitive to his mental health by discussing his future and bringing up last year's episode. That bothered me. And I'm bringing up Romeo Doubs because, if you recall yesterday, the context of that conversation was that he had a really good family night and he had a really good week. And Wes Hodkowitz, who, unlike me, is at practice, reports that Romeo Doubs just had a 55-yard touchdown from Jordan Love.
Let's
on a
go.
Deep post.
Nice.
The reason we talk about that situation where he chose not to go to work and that it didn't make a lot of sense because he had played the most snaps of any offensive, of any wide receiver, and had two fewer targets than the co-leaders in targets after four games, which were Dontavian Wicks, who'd had like some outlandish amount, like 10 in one game the week before, and Jaden Reed, is that not that we're insensitive to him or that he did something ill-advised and had a mental health issue, whatever we want to call it. And I do believe I said it's unfortunate that he didn't have somebody to talk to in that moment who could say, dude, you can't not go to work. The point here is that it doesn't matter if it's insensitive or not, Tausch. It changes the way the team looks at him. And if he still gets a contract extension from the Packers, that would indicate to me that what they see from him this season was so encouraging that they were willing to say, okay, we're going to chalk that up to a mistake or a mental health episode or whatever else. But guess what? The NFL is not sensitive. It's not a sensitive place. They don't care about your feelings. I wouldn't make it in the NFL. And while the Packers have ample things going on in their facility to help guys through mental health issues, they have Dr. Carr on staff. When I talked to Dontavian Wicks early last week, he was talking about how, you know, he was counting opportunities and targets and snaps, and he was in a bad mental place, and he went to Dr. Carr to work through it. That is not what Romeo did. I'm not faulting him. I'm just telling you he didn't do it. And now he's sitting there having a good camp And I still find myself wondering if he's going to get the opportunity to stay here. Don't you wonder the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, there is... This is a tough, tough business, and it's a tough job. And I think that the NFL has gotten better about helping people with, you know, issues that come up. And this, you know, the psychological part of football is a lot harder than the physical part. Mm-hmm. You get tested in a lot of ways, and you're not going to pass every test. But there are certain parameters that it is very difficult to overcome. Romeo, whatever happened and however it played out, that is something that is going to be very difficult for the front office to say, awesome, we're going to move along. Can it happen, and can he have a great season? Sure, but he's got a long road to get there, and maybe he's starting to climb it right now. Maybe he'll get there, and I hope he does, because then that typically means good things have happened.
That's it for us today. We survived without me at practice. See how tomorrow goes. I'm still listed as questionable. I'll talk to Doc McKenzie when he's not dealing with more important people than me. And we'll find out if I can make it to practice at some time this week. That's it for us today, though. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.